It's Wednesday, March 27th, 2024, and I'm Dave Sobel. Three things to know today. Combating burnout. IT teams suffer under a war room incident management set of tactics. LinkedIn data shows a decline in remote job postings amid ongoing demand for work flexibility. And Nigel Frank's study highlights discrepancy in gender equality views among tech professionals. This is the Business of Tech. Today's episode is supported by Huntress. You want to focus on your clients and are always looking for ways to get more time. Use Huntress's fully managed cybersecurity platform to fight off cyber threats. Huntress is more than cybersecurity software for endpoints and identities. It's a 24/7 security operations center. It's security awareness training, community engagement, and dedicated partner support with an average CSAT score of 99.3%. Technology can only get you so far. Human expertise is what's needed to truly elevate and protect small businesses, and you get that with Huntress. Secure your clients and help them thrive with the number one rated EDR for SMBs on G2. Visit huntress.com/MSPradio to find out more. We use a lot of combat terminology for security. Maybe that's not such a good idea. According to a study by Dynatrace, a war room-style approach to incident management, blame culture, and disconnected IT teams are causing burnout among IT staff. The study found that 91% of organizations still play the blame game with IT service providers after serious incidents, leading to fractured relationships and hampering the ability to respond to emerging threats. This reliance on war room-style meetings has left 49% of IT teams feeling burnt out, with 46% admitting to missing personal time. The increasing stress has led 21% of professionals to consider switching job roles or even careers. Dynatrace suggests that this approach not only fails to remediate issues, but also damages office culture and exacerbates skill shortages. KnowBe4 has released its 2024 Security Culture Report, which examines the impact of cybersecurity measures on organizations and their employees. The report reveals that the overall security culture score globally remains at a low moderate level, with smaller organizations performing better than larger ones. Industries such as insurance, financial services, and banking lead in security culture, while government, manufacturing, and education sectors struggle. And from Axios, many healthcare professionals affected by the hack of a UnitedHealth Group subsidiary are uncertain if their cyber attack insurance will cover their losses. Cyber insurance plans may not provide adequate protection when providers are affected by attacks on third-party vendors. Some providers may have been underinsured or unable to afford coverage due to rising cyber insurance rates. Surveys show that only about 15% of companies have standalone insurance plans for cyber attacks. Large health systems estimated losses of over $100 million per day, while smaller providers may have limited coverage that falls short the actual damage. Why do we care? The war room approach, characterized by high stress, blame-oriented tactics, is not only ineffective, but actively harmful. The significant percentage of IT staff feeling burnt out and considering career changes highlights an urgent need for a shift towards more constructive and empathetic incident management strategies. An organization that masters this approach will have more long-term viability. Cyber insurance is undergoing a reckoning. The uncertainty faced by providers about their coverage lights a gap in the current cybersecurity market, where policies may not fully account for the complexities of digital supply chains and the interconnected nature of those risks. This gap, compounded by rising insurance rate and the underpreparedness of some organizations, points to a critical area for reform and how cyber risks are assessed, insured, and managed. Gaps are opportunities, of course. I had to note this one. Recessions have been found to extend people's lives, with age-adjusted mortality rates dropping during economic downturns. The Great Recession, for example, resulted in longer lives for Americans, particularly for adults over 64 and those without a college education. The surprising reason behind this is the reduction in air pollution during recessions, as fewer people drive to work and overall activity decreases. Cleaner air was responsible for more than a third of the decline in mortality during the Great Recession. This research highlights the trade-offs between economic activity and mortality, emphasizing the need to find a balance between growth and social welfare. And how about a counterpoint to last week's shorter workweek proposal? According to Liberty Vertent, a professor at data science, studies that support the benefits of a shorter workweek are flawed and unreliable. She highlighted statistical flaws and limitations in popularly cited studies, such as the failure to mention additional costs incurred by the Icelandic government and the lack of randomization in assigning workers. Vertent also noted that no study has documented long-term productivity increases due to shortened workweeks, while multiple studies have shown negative impacts on a country's GDP. Mandating shorter workweeks in the U.S. could have unseen effects on workers, potentially leading to a divide between the rich and poor and an increase in part-time unemployment. According to a report by TechSmith Corp, 3 out of 4 workers haven't received training for flexible work arrangements, indicating that most employers haven't adapted their practices to support the shift to flexible work. The pandemic forced organizations into hybrid work without considering how to support new practices. Access to flexibility varies based on position and generation. Managers may not be as effective as they think in relating to their remote workers. HR professionals also face challenges in conducting remote HR functions, leading to increased turnover rates and employee burnout. And those jobs may be disappearing. According to new data from LinkedIn, the share of remote positions posted on the job site has plummeted in the last 12 months. Despite this, there's a high demand for remote work among applicants. And according to the BBC, U.S. salaries for fully in-office jobs are surging, with companies offering an average of $82,037 for such roles by March 2024, an increase of over 33% compared to 2023. This trend is driven by the push for workers to return to pre-pandemic office schedules and compensate for the loss of flexibility. In contrast, the availability of remote work in the UK and Europe means the in-person premium is expected to be weaker. However, the salary discrepancy may reinforce labor market inequities, as those with caring responsibilities, predominantly women, may be forced to give up higher-paying opportunities. Why do we care? Companies that offer flexibility will attract top talent and benefit from a larger talent pool. Employers who remain remote first have the advantage of accessing a diverse range of skilled individuals. This is a more challenging, and the lack of preparedness points to those realities. The increasing salary premium for in-office work, especially in the context of companies encouraging a return to those office schedules, highlights the tension between flexibility and compensation. I continue to appreciate this opportunity due to the flexibility itself. There's more than one solution and needs to be matched to an organization. That's ripe area for both disruption and differentiation. A study from Nigel Frank International found that 4 in 5 male tech professionals believe men and women are treated equally in the tech industry, contradicting previous research. However, research from the Fawcett Society revealed that nearly 1/4 of women in tech have reported experiencing sexism in the workplace. The study emphasizes the need for male allyship and suggests creating environments where women can openly share their experiences and be supportive in leadership roles. 1/4 of workers feel that generative AI tools could drive women out of the workforce, according to research from Code First Girls. The use of AI in the workplace is widespread, with many using it to improve productivity. However, concerns arise over the potential impact on female staff and the potential bias and discrimination in AI models. Crucial for businesses to prioritize diversity in tech teams to build effective and inclusive AI models. AI recruitment tools have also faced criticism for bias, with examples of disproportionate favoring of men. Gender bias in large language models has also been identified. While some argue that AI can reduce bias in recruitment, others caution that it can increase uniformity rather than diversity. Why do we care? The majority of male tech professionals believing that gender equality has been achieved in the tech industry, starkly contrasting with the reports from women experiencing sexism at work. The divergence points to a lack of awareness or acknowledgement of the challenges women face in the tech sector, including barriers to entry, progression, and a sometimes hostile work environment. That's a key insight for leaders. Looking to reach an audience of thousands of MSPs and IT service providers? Put your ad right here on the Business of Tech and be on the show that 64% of MSPs report having listened to. A recurring top 50 tech news podcast, there are affordable options for you to reach our audience, and we can support any budget. Podcast listeners are more engaged, have a higher level of brand retention, and are more willing to listen to ads here than any other avenues. Want to know more? There's information at mspradio.com/engage, including a button to book a time to talk. Looking forward to that discussion. Thanks for listening. It's National Spanish Paella Day, and it's also International Whiskey Day. Sounds like dinner is sorted. Have a question you want answered? We take those listener questions. Send them, ideally as a voice memo or video, to question@mspradio.com. And if you want to comment on the stories, put it in the comment if you're on YouTube, or reach out on LinkedIn if you're listening to the podcast. Talk to you again tomorrow. The Business of Tech is written and produced by me, Dave Sobel, under ethics guidelines, posted at businessof.tech. If you like the content, please make sure to hit that like button, follow, or subscribe. It's free and easy and the best way to support the show and help us grow. You can also check out our Patreon, where you can join the Business of Tech community at patreon.com/MSPradio, or buy our Why Do We Care merch at businessof.tech. Finally, if you're interested in advertising on the show, visit mspradio.com/engage. Once again, thanks for listening to me, and I will talk to you again on our next episode of The Business of Tech.
Part of the MSP Radio Network.